Welcome to Where Medicine Meets Ministry. Dr. Cherie talks faith and facts, a podcast that explores the relationship between faith and facts and its divine impact on the coexistence of mind, body, and spirit. Here's Dr. Cherie, a medical doctor, best-selling author, international professional speaker, a breast cancer survivor, and the queen of how to let go and live today and every day.
Welcome to another episode of Where Medicine Meets Ministry. Dr. Cherie talks faith and facts. In this final episode of season two, when the world still seems to find itself unsettled from a persistent pandemic, an uncertain economic crisis, and continuing death and violence, I want to stimulate our minds in thinking about what our responses would be to the following questions. How do you respond when suddenly you find yourself in a compromising situation? Someone in a position of power and influence presses you to engage in something that goes against your values, your identity, and what God has created you to do. How likely will the way you handle this situation be influenced by pleasing others or choosing what you think is best for you? And finally, how willing are you to accept the consequences of your decisions, right or wrong? In light of these questions, I want to take a look at two women in the Bible. Both of them were queens, Queen Vashti and Queen Esther. I'm sure we're all very familiar with the story of Queen Esther. So, these two ladies impacted. Paths didn't too much cross, but they certainly were interrelated. And their decisions had impacts not only on one another, but for those that followed after them. So when the king's entourage came to bring Queen Vashti to his special banquet, wearing the royal crown to show off her beauty to a room filled with high-spirited men, she refused. We need a little more context, though, to understand her refusal. We read that she was hosting her own party for the ladies of the land, an act of being a dutiful consort. But wives were expected to drop less important commitments for more important ones. This was day seven of a seven-day long banquet for all the men in the capital city, with unlimited wine for all. And we read that it was when King Xerxes was in high spirits from wine that he gives the order for Queen Vashti to be brought into a room full of excessively drunken men like himself. We are given the reason why the king wants Vashti brought in. He wanted to, quote unquote, display her beauty to the men because, quote, she was lovely to look at, end quote. He specifically wants her, quote, wearing her royal crown, end quote, a reminder to his subjects that Vashti belonged to him and was out of their reach. Now, not satisfied with only showing off his wealth, because this was the seven-day party that is the culmination of a six-month-long display of his kingdom splendor, now he wants to show the men that his wife is both beautiful and inaccessible. An immature whim of a drunken ruler. I mean, he's already king. He's already laid it out. 6 months of celebrating, showing who he was. Clearly, he was the man. And now these final 7 days is like, that's the 7 day for real party. And now we're at the culmination of it. And after seeing all of his glory, he still now wants his wife. She's doing her consort, you know, help meet thing by entertaining the ladies that have come with the men, right? She's doing her own party thing. But the king now gives a command. You know what? You need to drop what you're doing. I want you here in your garb, wearing a crown, because, you know, without me, you would not be in a crown. And then come on over here so I can show you off in a room full of other drunk men who now know, wearing a crown, she's inaccessible. But she's just supposed to be there on display. And in ancient times, when the king brought in a wife for display, it was not unheard of for her to come in wearing nothing but the crown, because her beauty was expressed in her body, not necessarily in the clothes and the silken cloths that she may have been draped with. So imagine, you're doing the dutiful thing. You're the queen. You're entertaining the ladies. And now you get a call and the king, your husband, is asking you to come and be his arm candy and or potentially be his naked arm candy in a room full of drunk men. And he is just as drunk. And so she responded to him. She didn't go. The narrative does not explain why she responded this way, but Queen Vashti made a choice not to succumb to the king's pleasures, not to be put on display as the king's trophy. And most likely, Vashti did not want to expose herself to the gaping and lust of a room full of inebriated men. They would not have dared to touch her, nor made wolf whistles or catcalls, but they could easily undress her with their eyes. That's if the king had the expectation that the queen would even be wearing clothes. But in refusing to come, Vashti was preserving her honor and dignity, as well as the king's, right? Because he's drunk. He doesn't really know what he's asking for. She did not want to flaunt her sexuality. Her decision is wise and modest compared to her husband's foolish, drunken order. She did the unthinkable, though, by saying no, and she was willing to accept the consequences. Queen Vashti was on point. The king was up to no good. Now, although the women at her banquet overhear the conversation between the eunuchs and Vashti, she stands alone because the choice is hers. Only she gets to say no. She speaks up and she speaks for herself. She doesn't say, no, I can't come because I'm entertaining the women and the women don't want me to leave. She makes her choice. She stands in her truth and does not only what is right for her, but really what is right for the kingdom. But her husband, the king, could not and would not see it in that way. So she speaks up and she speaks for herself. She is not powerless against a powerful king, even though her decision to refuse the king is considered wrong. She knows what she will and will not do, even with the exertion of power. Queen Vashti chooses to refrain from embracing the king's demand. Once the queen made up her mind, she was ready to deal with the consequences. She teaches us about the role of integrity and courage. Matter of fact, integrity takes courage. But as a result of her choice, Vashti is never again to enter the presence of the king. Her act of process, the process of her protest has a widespread effect. out of fear, the king's advisors ironically made sure Queen Vashti's act of protest received kingdom-wide attention in every household. The crown's attempt to keep the women in the kingdom in line, respecting their husbands. So let me repeat. Out of fear, the king's advisors ironically made sure Queen Vashti's act of protest received kingdom-wide attention in every household, which was the crown's attempt to keep the women in the kingdom in line, respecting their husbands. However, the timing is right. God had a replacement waiting, which was Queen Esther. But she too will have to exercise her free will in the choices she will make, a choice involving personal gain or the greater good. So let's go to switch over to Queen Esther, because her cousin Mordecai says to her, "And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this?" You know, in our society, there is a notion that women should be passive and allow men to do whatever they desire. Or maybe an attractive woman is not taken seriously as an intellectual or as a businesswoman, and she is told she got ahead on her looks alone. You know, in times of chaos and complexity of life in America, many women hear statements like, you know, "go home." Queen Esther had a choice, just like Queen Vashti. And when Mordecai sent word to her about the great danger their people were facing, she could have simply tried to save herself. She could have kept quiet, just hoped for the best, or turned the other way. But she and Mordecai both knew that God had given her great purpose in her position. She was wise. She made a plan. She didn't stay stuck in fear or worry. She prayed and fasted and asked for their people to do the same. See, when you're in a position where you are integral in that decision-making process, and the choice and the decision that you make will not only impact you, but will impact all of those connected to you, there is nothing wrong with bringing in your reinforcements, which is exactly what Queen Esther did. She called for all of the people to pray and fast. She didn't go in it alone. And too many times, when we know that the ultimate decision falls on us, we'll just act off of what we know, the wisdom that we possess and the knowledge that we possess at that time. But before you act, I will encourage you to reach out to those that maybe have experienced a similar circumstance, have experienced a similar situation, or experienced a situation with someone that is similar to the person with which you're attempting to make that decision. Seek out your reinforcements. You don't have to go in alone. But Queen Esther was willing to act. She was willing to follow God's lead, and she was willing to do what was necessary to save the lives of her people, even if it meant she might lose hers. And I encourage you to go out to the book of Esther, read the entire book of Esther. It is a tremendous piece of literature and learning and valuable resource of what can happen when you step out and trust God in spite of the fear, exemplifying the courage and the integrity necessary to do what's right and being willing to accept the consequences Because when you truly trust God, He will be with you through the consequences. And where you may be thinking that there may be negative consequences, you won't even feel the impact. He can guard you from the impact. So Esther and Vashti, they were not passive pawns in the Persian Empire, which is why I wanted to bring them up. They leveraged their power to do good for themselves and others with less influence. Because remember, Queen Vashti was making a stand for women just as Queen Esther made a stand for the Jewish people. Today, women are saying no, and some men are speaking up with them. Sometimes we, women and men, have to give up something good in order to receive God's best for us. Let me repeat that. Sometimes we, women and men, have to give up something good in order to receive God's best for us. When I'm conversing with young, aspiring Christian leaders, they often express a desire to hear the voices of women and men who have stories about God's assignments for, quote, such a time as this, end quote. They want to know how you honored your call and used your God-given gifts. Women in a male-dominated environment have usually expressed many challenges. I know I've had, certainly have had, my host of them. And they want to know what sustained you throughout these challenges. It is vital for women and men who support women in leadership to share these incredible stories. Sometimes it takes just one person to change the trajectory of our God stories. You know, think about who needs to hear your story. Is it time to be silent or is it a time to speak? As women are called to lead, we must be women of integrity. We cannot allow individuals to lead us into situations in which we are not supposed to be. We must know who we are and live in it. We may long for making life-giving and sacrificial decisions as we lead and serve in God's world. God is the only one who has the power to turn trials into blessings. So don't ever doubt that He is able, because nothing is impossible with Him. He is always at work, even when we can't see the whole story, even when things look uncertain. And that sets the stage for great things to happen. That sets the stage for such a time as this. It sets the stage for you to make a choice and a decision to do what is right in spite of the negative circumstances that you may be facing and in spite of the consequences that may occur because of your right choices. In the end, all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So doing what's right will always yield good consequences, even if you don't see it in the immediate term. It will always yield good consequences. So though our current situations may look different than what Vashti and Esther faced, we might still be struggling with great fear or uncertainty. The future may look dark. It's a lot going on right now in our nation, across the world. A hard diagnosis or a recent loss may have sent you spiraling. Yet often God places us in positions of influence or in strategic locations and positions like Vashti and Esther. Or consider what location, literally strategic location, you may be in. It may be your job title. It may be the location of where you are. But when God places you in positions of influence or in strategic locations, He generally does so with great purpose in mind. Many times, the places where we find ourselves is not really all about us, but instead, it really is all about Him. It's about His bigger plan. And so I say to you, in this last episode of season 2, may God help us to follow His lead, believing that His timing is perfect, remembering that He's always faithful. If you find yourself facing times of trouble or testing right now, be assured that God is at work in your situation. He's working within you and on your behalf in all the events that surround you, no matter how difficult. In whatever we face, God is still on the throne. He is powerful, and nothing is too difficult for Him. So keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. He will not fail you or leave you to struggle through on your own, not ever. And He is faithful to turn our pain into greater purpose in our own lives and for those around us. If you're facing uncertainty over the future or have a big problem that's troubling you today, I'm encouraging you right now, give it to God. Again, be willing to pray, fast, just as Esther and the people of Israel did. And then wait for His direction. Then act on the wisdom He provides. Know that He is for you and will never fail. Believe that He is at work and setting the stage for great things to happen for such a time as this. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of Where Medicine Meets Ministry. Dr. Cherie Talks Faith and Facts for our final episode of season 2. Wow, where has the time gone? Be blessed and stay safe.
You've reached the end of another episode of Where Medicine Meets Ministry. Dr. Cherie Talks Faith and Facts. Be sure to visit medicinemeetsministrypodcast.com to join the conversation and to view the show notes for this episode. And follow us on Facebook at Where Medicine Meets Ministry and on Twitter at Med Meets Men. That's M-E-D meets M-I-N. If you love the Where Medicine Meets Ministry podcast, we'd love to hear from you. To subscribe, rate, and give us a review on iTunes. And to connect with Dr. Cherie, go to drcheriemd.com. drsherimd.com. Until next time,